Today I'm proclaiming the word of the Lord from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 to 25. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word to us, fill us with your Spirit, so that our love for one another may be genuine and from the heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes is one of my favourite books of the Bible. It sets up a problem, it describes a situation that is at the heart of human existence, and it's a way in to today's reading. Let's hear the problem as it's put forward in Ecclesiastes. It goes like this. Everything under the sun is vanity. That is, everything in this world, everything that we can see, touch, taste, smell, and hear, it's transient. It's fleeting. All our work is under the sun. That is, whatever we do, whether we are young or old, whether we are rich or poor, whether we are wise or foolish, everything that we do, all our labour, our work, our toil, is done in this fleeting, transient world. And therefore, whatever we do in this fleeting, transient world is also destined to pass away. We could therefore say, if everything that we do in this world passes away, if we ourselves will be forgotten in one or two or three generations, if everything that we do will also be forgotten and in the end fade away like grass on a hot summer's day, what is the point of our work, our toil in this world? That's the problem as it's set up by Ecclesiastes. That's the human reality that it's dealing with. Now, on the one hand, the book of Ecclesiastes proclaims that God gives us opportunities for great joy in this fleeting life, and that these experiences of joy point us towards the eternal, point us towards God. We have that in the book of Ecclesiastes itself. On the other hand, the book of Ecclesiastes opens us up to hear the gospel, especially the gospel as we hear it in readings such as today's epistle reading. It opens us up to hear the good news that God does work for us. That God does work for us in this fleeting and transient world that is substantial and lasting, that's solid and eternal. That God our Father, by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb without blemish or defect, has ransomed us from an empty and meaningless existence and brought us into a community where we are free to show genuine and mutual love, a love from the heart that does not cease to exist when this world does, because it is built on the word of God, on Christ Jesus himself. So let's hear how the reading begins. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. Now, we Christians do call on God as Father. It's how Jesus has taught us to pray. And when we call God Father, that's evidence of the Spirit at work within us, assuring us that we are sons, that we are daughters of God, that we have the love and acceptance of God. This also gives us a reverence. God is Father, not a spiritual Santa Claus. God is the one who judges all people impartially. And this is something that we experience as we listen to our conscience. When we listen to our conscience, we know that something is wrong within us. and in our world. That we are not truly at home within ourselves as we are, or with our world as it is. Our true selves are revealed as God works his mercy in us, and as he renews creation by his Spirit. This gives us a reverence towards God. Now, for this reverence, let's think for a moment about the body language of worship. It's a clue. How we show reverence, of course, can change in different times and different cultures. But that there is such a thing as a reverence is something that we feel in our bones. In our congregation here at Bethlehem, in our worship, we have acts of reverence that can seem, and perhaps in some respects are, rather formal. Folding our hands, bowing our heads, standing and sitting at certain times. This body language of reverence is, of course, conditioned historically and culturally. But we do it, things like bowing and kneeling, knowing that we are following the example of our Lord and the apostles. Our Lord Jesus, as we know from Scripture, at times knelt when he prayed, as did the apostles. And this body language of reverence is a clue to an inner attitude, reveals an inner attitude towards God. Understanding that God, whom we rightly call Father, is also an impartial judge. That if we approach God as dearly loved children, we can only do this because of what God has done already for us. We have a reverence, in other words, that shows itself in our attitude towards God, and that reveals itself also in our love for one another, and we will be getting to this. But first, let's listen to how the text goes on. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways you inherited from your ancestors. You were ransomed not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. God has ransomed us from futile ways, from living in this fleeting and transitory world as if what we perceive with our senses is all there is. God has ransomed us from these futile ways, the text says. Now, the imagery here of being ransomed is the image of being bought out of slavery. So the idea is that when we live as if this world is all there is, we are driven into doing things that don't ultimately give us real, lasting joy. That we are driven into doing things that enslave us. We can see this sort of thing in addiction. Things like addiction to heavy drinking or drug use or wild gambling or the use of pornography. We humans can fall prey so easily to these things. We can also see this slavery at work in things that are less obviously problematic, but no less damaging. Things like addiction to work, or even addiction to family, treating our parents or spouse or children as if they are God, as if they, who are mortal, are God. We need God to liberate us, and God does act to buy us out of slavery and to free us, not with gold or silver, which by the standards of this world are lasting and imperishable, but in the light of eternity are fleeting and insubstantial. God frees us instead by the precious blood of Christ, by the forgiveness of our sin, by the cleansing of our conscience, by the assurance that we can approach the impartial judge and reverently call him Father, because he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen to how today's reading goes on. He, our Lord Jesus Christ, was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. It's the message of the gospel that turns us back to God. The message that Christ, who gave his life to take away our sin, lives in glory with the Father and the Spirit, and calls us to share in the life of the community of God. Listen to the gospel. God is calling you. He's calling you out of slavery to fleeting and temporal things, and into a way of life that flows from real trust and hope, and that shows itself in love. St. Peter goes on to give us, who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, who call out to God as Father, he goes on to give us a command that goes back to Christ himself. St. Peter writes, God's word says, now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. There's the command. Love one another deeply from the heart. Our obedience to the truth, our listening to the gospel message, this cleanses us and makes us fit to approach God in reverence. It also brings us into relationship with one another. Let's pause here and think about how this was the case also with Jesus in his earthly ministry. As Jesus called his disciples to follow him, he also drew them literally, physically, close to each other. Through their discipleship with Jesus, they, the disciples, who were of such different temperaments, learned to love each other and were free to show the love that their master, Jesus, showed them. This is how it is also with us. God has redeemed us together, and as we approach God in reverence, we also draw near to one another. We learn, we experience that we are brothers and sisters in God's household, and as such, we have a command from God, the true eternal Father, to love each other from the heart, our text says. In the modern world, the heart has to do mainly with emotions and feelings, but something more steady and sure is suggested by today's text. We are called to love each other from our innermost being, as an act of the will, you could say, or with deliberateness and intent. The same sort of language is used by Jesus, from the heart, in the parable of the unforgiving servant, when he calls us to forgive our brother or sister from our hearts. This, of course, cannot be done by human strength, but only by the power of God's word. God's forgiving word frees us to forgive each other, and the word of love in Christ frees us to love each other. This is why the reading can end with these words. You have been born anew, not with perishable, but of the imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is the good news that was announced to you. The word that endures forever, the word that breaks into this fleeting and temporal existence, is the word of the Lord, the message of Christ, whose blood set us free to be people of God. As we sing, "Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God." People who have been ransomed from an empty and meaningless way of living. People who are free to live with faith and hope. And people who are free here and now to experience the power of the resurrection as we show genuine love for one another. Well, may God keep us in the freedom gained for us by the blood of Christ. Amen.